Welcome to the Your Senior Living Questions Answered podcast. I'm Christy.
And I'm Michelle.
And we love sharing all different facets of the senior living journey, especially here at MBK Senior Living. Our goal is to help answer the most common and sometimes the most burning questions about senior living so you can make a better, more informed decision. Now let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Today we welcome back Diana D. Engel, MBK's National Director of Wellness Programming. Hello, Dee.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we had a really awesome conversation last time you were here. I think we really got into just globally senior living industry, kind of a brief history of the industry and how we see it going. Certainly the pandemic was a big topic of conversation. It changed things a lot because it illuminated a lot of areas where we needed to pivot and adjust. And so along the lines of, family involvement, I want to ask you, what is the impact of not just dementia and Alzheimer's, but what is the impact of having care needs for a loved one on families?
Oh, man, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot in that answer in terms of what the impact is. The first thing that comes to mind is what it does in terms of the roles and relationships within the family. And I mean, I think anybody who's listening has been through something, if they've had an older loved one, where when the independence of the person starts to become threatened, you know, because of various things, like you said, whether it's dementia or whether it's, some kind of illness that comes up, and people start to require help and assistance in the family, let's say the closest loved ones around step in to provide that help and assistance, it starts to change the dynamic of the relationship. And especially, I think this comes up a lot for whether you're the spouse or whether you're the adult child of the person you're caring for, the shift in the role from I'm here for you, I'm the caregiver, to, well, now the person that I raised or the person who was my partner is caring for me, it's existentially, fundamentally threatening to have that shift in the dynamic. And so when we first meet people in senior living who've come to us for help, that, you know, there's often been a lot of emotion and a lot of struggle to try to sort through, you know, providing that care, maintaining the relationships, and for the person who's, the recipient of the care, you know, there can be some safety issues. I don't mean like physical safety, but I mean like emotional safety and security, feeling like, okay, I'm dependent now on other people. A lot of depression and anxiety for the person receiving care. And then, you know, the grumpiness that can come from that, which can make it really hard on the caregiver who's like, look, I don't want to do this either. Or maybe they do, but it's like, I'm in it here too. And, you know, so it impacts both.
So it's, what about on a bigger scale, bigger level, what is the impact on our society?
Well, I wish I had some of the statistics at hand for you, because that would be really interesting, and I don't. But just in terms of the dollars spent by families, you know, trying to meet the care needs of their loved ones, that's an enormous impact on society. And honestly, right now, I don't think I can talk about this without talking about, you know, the lack of people to work. So every industry, I mean, every business right now is suffering from not having, especially I think and I haven't studied it in depth, but entry-level workforce. So we're all scrambling to find caregivers and housekeepers and that type of thing. And so we're now starting to see something that we talked about, we've been talking about for 25, 30 years, that as the older population starts to exceed the younger population, we like literally don't have enough people to take care of the people who are aging. So the aging people are going to be in a situation where, I don't know, I mean, you know, do they take care of each other? Do they take care of themselves? You know? So, yeah, socially, we're looking at, I think we're looking at a lot of innovation that's going to have to happen for us to see our way through this. Yeah.
So I think last time we spoke, you talked about the resident volunteers. I think there was more than 20 at any given community.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very unique. That is kind of residents taking care of each other.
Absolutely.
In a sense.
Yeah.
It's unique to senior living.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had this insight once when my daughter was going to a school that, by the way, we paid a tuition for. So I thought to myself, well, if we pay a tuition, then we're done, right? And no, as parent group, we had to get actively involved, and they wanted us to paint fences and do fundraisers and all that kind of thing. And I learned through that experience that, you know, when we're all working together, it's a better experience. It's a better environment. And so the same for sure is true of senior living, that when we're all on the same team and working to implement things, the residents that you mentioned that are volunteering at communities. Volunteer is only the right word because we're not paying them to do it. But really what they're doing is they're staying actively engaged in work, you know. And one of the things that we've learned from research that's out there on longevity is that there is a correlation between living a longer, healthier life and never retiring. Staying active. And so much so that now, you know, the people out there who promote healthy lifestyle and, you know, give us the best information about living a long, healthy life are saying, don't retire. That the whole notion of retirement being this disengagement from, having that purposeful avocation in your life, that turns out not to be super healthy for people. That retirement shouldn't be a life of leisure, that it, and if you want it to be healthy psychologically and physically, it's better to keep going, keep working. Now, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're being paid for it or not. That's not the point. So you can certainly retire from your main source of income that you've had. But in terms of active engagement in doing something that, and it really is about that, whatever it is that you're doing, being something that's meaningful to other people and that feels like it's making a contribution to society, that seems to hold the key to health and vitality for people. So I just love that our residents are getting involved in their communities because this is their home. This is where they live. And this group of agers in their 80s right now coming up, 70s and 80s right now, these are people who have been active their whole adult lives. They have been on committees. Yeah. This will not be their first committee. They have, they've protested, they've organized things, they've volunteered.
They've run companies, been on boards.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, you know, as much of that as they can continue to do, the healthier and more vital they will be.
Very cool. I love that. Never really retiring, especially your mind.
Yeah.
Actually, we looked up the financial impact of
caregiving. Oh, yay. Oh, so I love the miracles of modern technology.
The little thing called Google.
Yeah.
So according to the AARP, in 2019, about 41 million unpaid family caregivers provided an estimated 34 billion wow. hours of care, which is worth $470 billion.
Wow.
To parents, spouses, and partners.
Okay, so I'm hoping that there are some people listening who fall into that category who can realize the impact of what they're doing, that they're, that it is as valuable as any mm-hmm. paid job, right?
Yeah.
Maybe more so in some ways. Mm-hmm.
And
what an impact.
It's not like you're, well, in some cases, you might have to give up your day job in order to do this, which is, it's a huge decision that you have to make as a family. In a lot of cases, you don't. It just means you're being stretched that much further.
Yeah. Yeah. That just made me think about the question that you asked at the beginning too, and kind of what people come into this with. And so of course the person who is now receiving care is in this crisis of, am I useful in the world anymore now that I need care? But then the person giving the care has given up so much mm-hmm. to be the caregiver. They're in a similar crisis. This is the kind of thing that my team has been really working on, trying to develop some information, resources, support, you know, whether it's classes or whether it's online resources, matching people up for everyone to kind of know what they're facing in terms of those individual things that we were talking about at the beginning, to the health and well-being toll that it can take on the individuals involved.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's not talked about as much as it needs to be. I think it's talked about more than it used to, but it's important to have those conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
So along those lines, let's say, you know, the family has made the, albeit difficult, but positive decision to engage with the senior living community. What are some ways that a family member, daughter, son, grandchild, partner, spouse, how can they be actively involved? What are some, I guess, productive ways that they can be actively involved in the care of their loved one?
That's a good question. And it starts before move-in, for sure, before that actual, you know, setting up of the apartment and that type of thing, where I think really being able to communicate clearly what the important things are for that whole family, you know, meeting the team and being open about what the needs are, not just of the resident moving in, but of the family members, the caregivers, forming those relationships with the team, is that's huge in terms of easing into this new relationship, you know, moving into a care environment. And then I hesitate at saying this because I don't want it to sound a certain type of way, but allowing other people to help, because that's what we're here to do. And I mean, even when I said it, I had this image of myself when I first dropped my daughter off at kindergarten for the first time, and I wouldn't leave. Like, I didn't leave. I was supposed to go to work. And I actually sat in my car in the parking lot. It was only a half day of kindergarten, right? But I couldn't go to work after I dropped her off. So I say this with the utmost of understanding of what that feels like, and having worked with so many families over the years. But, and we will never say to people, oh no, you know, drop your loved one off and you go away on vacation, you know, go take some time for you, but you've been working hard at this. Go take some time for yourself, because I, you know, like that would be like saying that to me, you've been taking care of this little girl for 5.5 years and now it's time for kindergarten. You just go away and right. let us take over. That's not going to happen. So we totally understand that. You know, so developing that relationship with our team members, the, you know, the nurse that works at our community, the executive director, the caregivers, and letting them help, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, is that's huge.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's important. We're not taking over. We're partnering with you. We're supporting you.
Yeah.
We're just kind of joining you on this journey of taking care of your loved one. Definitely not taking over, because we understand that's not how this works.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the families who and loved ones who advocate for their loved one, you know, that serves them well. It really does. And we just benefit so much when we have a family that, or, you know, a support system for the resident who's, you know, actively involved in trying to figure out what the latest research is and is really advocating for the best healthcare for their loved one. And we will totally partner with them on that. But we certainly benefit from having that, because we don't have all the answers, you know, for those individuals. And so working together as a team is mutually beneficial.
Well, Dee, I want to thank you for your time. I think, again, a great conversation. I hope that if you're listening to this, it's been helpful to you. I want to offer, because I'm sure there's specific questions from those that are listening, and maybe these questions can be on another podcast, or maybe it's just a personal question that you might have that you need some help. So I would like to offer your expertise if you don't mind.
It's funny. I was just thinking that as you were closing. I'm like, oh, I miss Q&A. Like, I would love to take some questions from people and answer them. So whatever format, however you want to do that, I'm in.
Sure. Email us mslinfo, that's MSLINFO, at mbk.com. Email us any questions that you have specifically for Dee, or if there's questions that you'd like addressed on a different podcast, mslinfo@mbk.com.
And we do have colleagues. We can answer a variety of questions.
Yes, we can. And we want to. So send us any questions you have. All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.